What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. What's up, guys? Jared Lopes with you back here on the Dad Tired Podcast, and it is good to be with you. If you're new to the Dad Tired Ministry, welcome. We're glad to have you. We're glad that you found us. I just bit my tongue as I said that. That was weird. We're glad that you found us. We are a group of normal dudes who are trying to take our faith, family, and marriage very seriously. We'd love to have you come hang out with us. You can do that by going to dadtired.com and clicking the community tab. And that is kind of a new tab because we just redesigned our website. So it's going to do two things when you click on that. Number one is it's going to show you groups of guys in your area who are also part of Dad Tired, who are trying to take their faith, their family, and their marriage seriously, and who are meeting like in person, face to face. So go on there, type in your zip code, and find groups in your area. If there's not one in your area, you can sign up to lead one. There's no real leadership required. We just ask if you are doing your best to follow Jesus and you want to facilitate a group, we give you all the material. All you have to do is show up, commit to showing up for 4 weeks and allowing other guys to hang out with you. So you can either find a group in your area. If there's not one, lead one. And also in the meantime, you'll see a link there that you can link over to a closed group on Facebook where we got a bunch of guys there who are just praying with each other, encouraging each other, and all kinds of good stuff there. So I know that was a lot of information, but welcome. Want to get you connected as quickly as possible. The best way to do that and get all the information you need is go to dadtired.com. Anyway, love you. even though I've never met you, I'm grateful that you're here. And I just love the guys at Dad Tired. I was just telling my wife probably last night, I launched Dad Tired almost exactly a year ago, just a couple days January 2nd, 2016, I launched Dad Tired. And we just didn't have anybody. Nobody had ever heard about it. And it's grown so much in this last year. And I told my wife last night that it's just been crazy, man. Like I know that I'm the one that like started this thing, but I'm legitimately blown away every day at what's happening, in the group and in the communities. Just seeing guys who've never met each other genuinely love on each other and encourage each other. And, guys have just always been the hardest demographic to reach in the church, and yet the way that we're seeing guys get connected in this ministry is seriously insane. So I'm blown away every day. I really do love this like ministry. I have a separate job, a business that I run as well, and I don't put nearly as much time into that as I need to, because I spend a ton of time on thinking through this Dad Tired stuff because I love it so much. It's just it's good stuff, man. Anyway, sorry for the rant. Welcome to 2017. I hope that you had a good Christmas and New Year. I am about to take my wife on a cruise. We live in Oregon, and it's a little rainy and overcast all the time. And our wedding anniversary is on January 31st every year, and obviously every year. And we're like right in the thick of rainy season in Oregon and at the end of January. So we always try to bust out and get away to somewhere that's warm and sunny. So this year we're going on a cruise. Super excited about that. Hopefully we don't get seasick and spend the whole time throwing up, but should be good. I want to talk to you guys today about the kingdom. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, and I've talked about the kingdom a lot before, but I always say that it's fascinating that the kingdom is the thing that Jesus talked about the most, and yet it's honestly probably one of the most misunderstood or confusing topics for people in the Christian world. And so here's the thing. If you're new to the Dad Tired Podcast and you just heard me kind of give that introduction, just know this, that if you're looking for some like deep, heady theological truth, I'm not the dude for you. Like there are better podcasts out there for that. Better resources out there for that. So when I say we're going to talk about the kingdom, we're going to talk about the kingdom, but we're going to talk about what it means for our everyday life. Like, how does that actually apply to us as dudes and husbands and men that are trying to live out the gospel and live out how God has designed us in the here and now, like today? What does that mean for us in the midst of chaos of trying to raise kids and be a faithful husband and all that good stuff. So don't get freaked out when I say the kingdom, or like, you know, this is going to be a really heavy, heady conversation, because it, I'll try to give us some theological truth, but always try to bring it down to like the here and now. So here's the thing. Jesus said, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, he told them this. He said, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name, which that statement alone we could do a whole podcast on, just the fact that Jesus addressed God as Father. That had never been done before. There had never been like this father, son, child, parent relationship with a God of any kind. Like no God had ever wanted you to approach him as Father. And so the fact that Jesus is saying, even though God is majestic and he's almighty and he's full of justice and truth and power, that same God wants you to approach him as Father, Abba, like daddy, is insane. It's insane. That's literally never been done. Like no God, no religion, nobody has, even within the Christian faith at that time, nobody had ever approached God as daddy. And yet Jesus tells us to come to God just as a child would come up to his dad, Father, holy is your name. And there's even in that statement, there's this beautiful balance of father, like tender child, dad relationship, and also holy is your name. Like you're my dad, and yet you're all holy, perfect, and powerful. And there's this, I mean, it's just this beautiful, crazy, confusing imagery that God, Jesus is using in his wording there. And so I could go on a whole podcast on just that alone, but we'll keep moving on. So he says, he's teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. And then this is where we're going to camp. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where does he say it next? If you know this passage, you're probably familiar with it if you've grown up in church at all. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. And this is where people get confused. This is where I grew up confused, because I grew up thinking that like heaven or the kingdom equated heaven, right? So you think, when you hear the word kingdom, you think heaven, which is a one day place that's not here. It's somewhere where you go after you die. And so whenever you would talk about the kingdom, I was thinking that we were talking about heaven, which is a faraway place, not here. That's somewhere that we go to after we die. And yet Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And so this kingdom is like, there's something about the kingdom that we can experience now. And I think many Christians are confused, because of what we've taught in churches, they're confused about this idea of the kingdom or in heaven, or even maybe the purpose of Jesus. Like if you ask a lot of people, why did Jesus come? Like what was the point of Jesus coming to earth, God coming to earth through the person of Jesus Christ? I think people would say to die for our sins, which is absolutely true. Jesus did come to die for our sins so that we could have this relationship with God that is not tarnished, or there's no friction in between it because of our sin. Like God doesn't look at us because of our sin anymore. So absolutely, Jesus came to die for our sins, but he also came to show us what it looks like to be human under the reign and rule of God. And so Jesus was teaching us like, hey, this is how I actually designed it. Let me model for you what humanity looks like or supposed to look like the way that God designed it to be. And so he didn't just come to die for our sins. If the only point of Jesus was that he would come die for our sins so that we could say a prayer and go to heaven, then listen, like the Bible would be much shorter and Jesus's whole mission and ministry would have been way different. He would have just gone around like converting people with a prayer and said, hey, after I die, if you believe in me and say this prayer and believe that I died and raised again, you'd go to heaven. And that's the whole point of this thing. But Jesus didn't say that. In fact, he never said that. He never said that the whole point was to say a prayer so that when you die, you can go to heaven. That he never said that. It's nowhere in scripture. despite what you've heard over and over, it's nowhere in Scripture that Jesus wants us just to say a prayer, accept him into his heart so that we can go to heaven. Jesus was really concerned about and adamant about teaching us what it means to be human here on earth. So when he's teaching his disciples how to pray, some of the very first words that he says is, God, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means that God wants his kingdom, he wants heaven, he wants his rule and reign to be here on earth just as it is in heaven. And so here's the way that I try to teach people to think about this. Think about cultures. Okay, so in the United States where I live, there's a culture. And even within the United States, there are subcultures based on like what interest you have or where you live, right? So there's think of it as a culture. In the United States, we have a way of doing things. We have a president and a government who kind of sets the tone, and media which kind of set the tone. And this is not a political rant or any knock on media or whatever. It's just we have things that kind of dictate the tone of our culture. And in our culture, this is the way we do things. And you highlight or you can those the way that we do things are exposed when you go to another culture that's not your own. So I travel a lot for either work or ministry, and I'll go to other countries, and you'll quickly learn like what is American and what is not American, and just the way that you eat or the kinds of food that you eat, or do you eat with your hands or with a fork, or do you sit on the ground or do you sit at a table, the way that you go to the bathroom, the way that you introduce yourself or greet somebody. These are all cultural norms. Even the way that like I've gone to some countries in Eastern Europe where or even in the Middle East where people talk to each other and I'll listen. I have no clue what they're saying. And for about 25 minutes, I thought that they were like about to get in a fist fight. And turns out they were brothers and like loved each other. And they were talking about how much they loved like food or something. But just the way that they communicated each other seemed like they were screaming at each other, right? That's just a different cultural norm. That's the way that they do things in their culture. That's the way that they greet and interact. And so Jesus comes and he teaches us about a different culture, a different way of interacting, a different way of doing things. So let me give you a couple like real life practical examples here. In our culture, in the United States, we have some cultural norms. And I think that these are actually true for humanity, not just the United States, but within humanity, we have some cultural norms. So here's some easy ones. When somebody wrongs you, if somebody does something wrong or against you, it's culturally normal to disassociate yourself with them or even at the far end to maybe take revenge, right? So that's a cultural norm. Like we just do that. Like dude messed me up or he did wrong to me or my family or my kids. So I'm going to remove myself from him and maybe even seek revenge because he deserves what he has coming to him, right? That's a cultural norm. That's our instinct. That's the instinct of humanity to do things like that. Well, Jesus comes and he says, when somebody does something to you like that, in fact, he says, when somebody hits you on one cheek, turn and give them your other cheek. This is the norm of heaven. In fact, somebody asked Jesus like, okay, how many times should I forgive somebody? And the person asking, I think it was Peter even asking Jesus, was trying to be like radical. Like I imagine he was even trying to like impress the people around him. Like, hey, Jesus, should I forgive somebody like seven times? Like if somebody wrongs me seven times, should I forgive them seven times? And Jesus says seven times 70. Basically, you don't stop forgiving them. Even if they've wronged you over and over and over within a day, you don't stop forgiving them. So what is Jesus doing here? He's teaching that, listen, you have your own norms in your culture, right? You have the things that you do that are normal within your culture. But in my culture or in my kingdom where I am king, here are my norms. In my kingdom, you keep forgiving because God keeps forgiving you. And so you are now a citizen, not of America, not of any other country, not of the world. You are a citizen of the kingdom where I am king. And in my kingdom, we have new norms where we forgive people over and over and over. Here's another example I just thought of at the top of my head. Last night, my wife and I attended a class, our first one of eight classes for us to become foster care parents. And in the middle of it, there was just so much information. There was tons and tons of information in the class. And I was thinking, like, holy cow, this is really overwhelming. And there was a part of me that was thinking, you know what, this is too much. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. We haven't even got started on the hard stuff. And just the amount of information is overwhelming. And I was flooded with the thought that in the kingdom and God's culture, we sacrifice for the sake of the poor, the orphan, the widows, because Jesus sacrificed for us to bring us into his family. And so listen, it's not convenient. There's nothing going to be convenient about being a foster parent. In fact, it's going to be incredibly inconvenient. And the culture would tell us, like, hey, you've got two kids, you've got work, you're running a business. Like, dude, are you sure you want to do this? This is going to require a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work. And yes, like, I feel all of that. The culture around me, the culture within me says, I don't want to do this really because it's going to be inconvenient. But the gospel inside of me, the kingdom where Jesus reigns as king inside of me, God's kingdom come, God's will be done in my heart, in my house as it is in heaven, means that we sacrifice. Like, we show our kids, listen, we're citizens of a different kingdom. And in the kingdom of Jesus, where he's king, where he reigns, we do things different. We lay down our lives for the sake of those in need, because Jesus laid down his life for the sake of us when we were in need. This is gospel truth. This is what it means and looks like to be a citizen in the kingdom. And listen, I may come back here in a month and tell you how hard it is and I gave up. And if I do, you should send me an email and remind me of the gospel. But right now, I'm choosing to believe, like, the kingdom within me will not reign. The kingdom of this world, I don't want to reign. I want the kingdom of Jesus to reign inside my heart. And so I lay down my life because Jesus laid down his life for me. I live my life through the lens of the gospel because I'm a citizen in a different kingdom. Those are two examples. We're going to continue to go through a couple different examples. Before we do, I want to take a quick commercial break. Then we can come back and keep talking about this. What's up, guys? Traditionally in the church, men have been the hardest demographic to reach, and yet Dad's Hired Ministry has successfully been able to engage guys from all around the world with the gospel, equipping and encouraging them to be the men that God has designed them to be. We're a nonprofit ministry, which means we rely heavily on your support. If you love this podcast and believe in what we're doing, would you consider giving $19 a month to help us keep going? You can do this by going to dadtired.com/give. Thank you, seriously, for being on this journey with me. And I can't tell you how excited I am to see what God does with our community in the years to come. So here's one way that we can start to take this passage and make it super, super applicable. Here, when Jesus gives that prayer, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's one thing that, just switch the words around in that prayer. Start to say this: God, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in our home as it is in heaven, or in my heart as it is in heaven, or even name your work, like, in my job as it is in heaven. And start to, like, if you want to get real practical here, write down home, family, heart, marriage, kids, job, like, and then put into each of those, under each of those categories, what would it look like for God's kingdom, for God's culture, for the way that he does things to reign in each of those areas. So listen, like, if you've got things in your life, like in the kingdom, in the culture of the world, we hide things and we're like deep within shame and secrecy. But in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, we can, like, confess sin because we believe in the grace of Jesus, that it's sufficient, that it's enough for us. And so we can actually confess our sin with joy because we recognize that, man, even my sin doesn't have a hold on me because of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm free. I have been freed freed and made new because of what Jesus did in Christ. And so I confess sin. The world keeps things in secret. Jesus says, confess it because there's joy in my mercy. There's forgiveness and hope and freedom in my mercy. So maybe in your heart, like what the kingdom looks like is to confess sin to God and to say, God, I'm sorry for turning to other things for satisfaction and for joy and for hope. And God, I want to return my heart back to you. I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I've done. And thank you for your grace that it's enough for me, that it can sustain me and give me joy and comfort. And so that's what your kingdom coming, his will being done in your heart looks like. Maybe in your marriage, you are in a place in your marriage where you are constantly like bitter towards your spouse, your wife, because she's not doing all the things you want. I talk to guys all the time. It's like, my wife isn't sleeping with me enough. She's not doing all the things I want her to do, or she's always bitter, or she's always like complaining, and I'm just angry all the time with her or feeling bitter towards her. So maybe, dude, instead of like focusing on all the things that you feel like your wife should be doing, maybe the kingdom looks like you laying down your life for your wife the way that Jesus has laid down his life for you. And Jesus said, listen, I want you to treat your wife the way that I've treated you. And how did Jesus treat you? You weren't a good bride, just to like remind you. You weren't a good bride. You weren't this awesome person that Jesus was like, oh, I can't wait to be around this person because they're so awesome. Listen, you were a wretched sinner, like in disobedience and rebellion towards God. And yet Jesus sacrificed his life so that he can be in relationship with you without there being any friction or sin involved. And so Jesus laid down his life when you were at your worst. The Bible says that while you were still yet sinning, Christ laid down his life for you. Not while you still looked amazing, Jesus laid down his life for you, but while you were still yet sinning in your ugliness and in your despair and in your brokenness and in your junk and in your rebellion, God came and laid down his life for you. And so while your wife isn't doing all the things that you want her to do in the times that her makeup is off and her sweatpants are on, right? And she's not living up to all of your standards of being a wife while she's still yet not looking amazing. I don't just mean looks. I mean like in your eyes and in the whole package of who she is. Even when you're not attracted to her in every way, you lay down your life for her. You sacrifice your life for her because that's what Jesus did for you. And so you stop asking, what can I get from my wife? But you start asking, how can I lay down my life for my wife the way that Jesus has laid down his life for me? That's what the kingdom looks like in your marriage. Maybe for your kids, it's giving them attention. So the world says, like, be productive, be busy, have a lot going on, go, 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 go. And maybe in the kingdom, it says to stop and to rest. And to remember that your hard work is not what sustains you, but it's the grace of Jesus that sustains you. It's not actually your hard work that's providing for your family. It's the grace of God that even gives you the breath to get out of your bed, to work, and to provide for your family. You are not your family's ultimate provider. Jesus is. And so you can rest and like turn off your phone and set it aside and leave it in another room and give your kids your undivided attention because Jesus has given you his undivided attention. When you pray, when you come and seek after God, he says that you will find me, not you'll find me distracted or you'll try to go find me because I'll be somewhere else. But Jesus says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. You'll find him because you have his full attention. And so the gospel, the kingdom in your home, God's kingdom come, his will be done with your kids, is that they have your full attention because Jesus has given you his full attention. The kingdom looks like not being busy, to lay down the things that would make you feel productive or like a great dad, or maybe not even the things that make you feel productive. Maybe the kingdom looks like turning off the video game or the basketball game or the football game or the TV or whatever you're doing, shutting down the computer and giving your kids full attention. Because in the kingdom that you're in, and you're a citizen in a different kingdom, and in that kingdom, you have a king that has modeled for you what it's like to give his kids his full attention. And so your kingdom in the kingdom of God and your citizenship, you give your kids your full attention because that's what your king has modeled for you. Man, that's good stuff, dude. I'm like, dang, that's good stuff. Like, I need to listen to my own words, man. That's gospel truth. I told my wife one time that sometimes when I'm preaching or like teaching or whatever, like I'm trying to point people to Jesus and just lay out what God's put on my heart, I'm like equally, it's fully engaged with what I'm saying because I believe like the gospel truth is gospel truth. It doesn't matter if I'm saying it or some other pastor saying it or some other person or blogger or speaker or podcaster or the rocks are saying it or God makes some donkey say it. Like it doesn't matter who's saying it. The power is not in the speaker. The power is in the gospel, and the gospel is truth, man. And it's heavy. And so when we're reminded of this stuff, like, dude, even as I'm saying this, I'm reminded of the gospel truth, not because I'm saying it, but because it's truth, like it's gospel truth. When Jesus came, listen, Jesus wasn't coming to teach us like, hey, I'm just coming to die for your sins. Jesus was coming to teach us what it means to be human in his kingdom. And this is all the examples that I'm giving you are examples of us being human in God's kingdom. When he was doing miracles, when he was doing stuff and people were blown away, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy and supernatural. Jesus was actually saying like, no, this is the way I design things to be. When people are slapping you in the face and you turn your other cheek, like I designed you to forgive. In my kingdom, you're meant to have unending forgiveness. Like I designed you to be at peace with each other, not at conflict with each other. Like this isn't supernatural, crazy stuff. This is actually the way that I designed things to be. God was teaching us what it means to be human. Man, I'm getting fired up. This is good stuff. Let me leave you there. Here's my, if I can leave you with something practical, it's this. Write down on a piece of paper, God's kingdom, just put at the top, God's kingdom coming, and then just put subsections, subcategories, like God's kingdom coming in my heart. And write down some examples, like what would it look like for you to live outside the kingdom of this world, outside the kingdom of yourself, and to live as a citizen in the kingdom of God where he is king? What would that look like in your heart? What would it look like at your work? What would it look like to like not be the gossiper, but be the one that lifts up other people? Because in God's kingdom, you build people up, you don't tear them down. That's what God did for you. He didn't tear you down, he lifted you up. What would it look like for God's kingdom to come with your kids? What would it look like for God's kingdom to come in your marriage and in your friendships and in your hobbies and in the things that you love to do and the way that God designed you? Man, I could go on and on and on. Write those down. Take a picture and send it to me. Put it on social media. Put it in the Dad Tired group. But man, would we be citizens in the kingdom? This is what God meant. The whole purpose of Christianity is not that we say a prayer and one day go to heaven. The point is that God's spirit would live in us so that we could start to experience God's kingdom, heaven, here on earth. I love you guys. Thank you seriously for your attention. And all the things that are fighting for your attention, the fact that you would take time out and listen to the Dad Tired podcast is humbling, and I don't take it lightly. Thank you. If it's enjoyable, like if you like it, if this is encouraging, leave a review. That helps us on iTunes so that more and more guys can be encouraged with this stuff. But I love you guys. Thank you seriously for being part of this journey with me. I look forward to seeing you next week. Later.